As this new year begins, we do have the opportunity to worship the Lord, and it is a blessing for us to do so. We do have those visiting with us. We appreciate your attendance and hope you'll come back every opportunity that you have. I recall it was about, I was about 8 or 9 years old. I started having trouble in school. My grades started going down, and I just kind of felt lost. Fortunately, I had a teacher who was experienced, and she told my parents, "You need to get him to an eye doctor." I went to the eye doctor, and if you've been there, you perhaps have seen the eye charts, and it was diagnosed that I just wasn't seeing. I needed eyeglasses, so I got a pair of eyeglasses. My grades did pretty good, and I felt I could see again. Well, you might be asking, well, why didn't you just say, "Mom, Dad, I can't see. Things are blurry. I'm not doing good in school. I can't see the board. I'm not able to accomplish my assignments." Well, the problem was I didn't know that things were blurry because I had never experienced that before. Now, after I got glasses and my eyes got weaker, I could see that they were getting blurry. I needed a new prescription, but at first, I didn't know I couldn't see well. 20/20 vision is really a blessing, is it not? For us to be able to function well in our society, for us to see things distinctly, see things clearly. The elders have set this year 2020. They've used the 2020 as an opportunity to talk about clear vision and focus in on a particular passage in Scripture, and appreciate Annie Fuqua for making this poster for us so that we can see it clearly. We put it on the exits going out of the auditorium and coming into the auditorium, and hope every time that you come in and out, you'll take a look up and have it remind you of what we want to focus on this year. Paul said with 2020 vision in Philippians 3 and verse 13 and 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, this theme is actually similar to the theme we had last year, which was from Ephesians 4 and verse 1, which was walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, last year, we really put a lot of emphasis on we need to raise our standard to the standard of God. God has called us to holiness, called us to grow up, called us to maturity, and we as children of God need to work on ourselves in order to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. This year, although it's similar, the emphasis is a little bit different. This year, it's on our focus. It's on clarity. It's on definition of what is real. It's on looking at ourselves as we really are, looking at our past as it really was, looking at our present as it truly is, looking at our future with the eye of faith so that we might be able to see what is truly ahead of us. So, to begin this year, I would like to just focus on these verses. Focus on the one who wrote them, because the Apostle Paul wrote these in the context of his own life, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but in the context of the author who penned them, looking at what Paul saw and what parallel there is for us will help us to understand where we're going through this year. First, a little look at the past of Paul, of where he began to see things clearly. Let's go back to the book of Acts in the 7th chapter. Acts chapter 7, we find that the church had been established, that many had become Christians, but unfortunately many were opposed to Christianity. So Stephen stands up before the Sanhedrin and he preaches to them about Jesus Christ. Preaches to them that Jesus was the answer to all of the events of the Old Testament. All of them were pointing to him. The problem was they weren't seeing it. In chapter 7 and verse 51, Stephen says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." They had resisted the Holy Spirit who had revealed to them that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They had resisted Jesus Christ. They had rejected Jesus Christ. In fact, the text tells us in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed their teeth. He being filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven with the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand. These individuals were people who had shut their ears. Notice verse 57. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. We might also say they shut their eyes. Here it was, the truth standing in front of them, Stephen telling them about Jesus Christ. Rather than opening their ears, rather than opening their eyes, rather than seeing things as they were in truth, seeing things clearly, they stopped their ears, they shut their eyes, they refused to understand the truth, and they killed Stephen. They stoned him. And in fact, in verse 58, it says that the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. This Saul, of course, is later going to become Paul. In chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul, or Paul, was consenting unto his death. And there is this great persecution that arises against the church there in Jerusalem that was led by Saul, or by Paul. Here was a man who was blind. Here was a man who had blurred vision. Here was a man who was not seeing things as they truly were. He was not seeing the truth of who Jesus was. Until something happens. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he went near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Saul, Saul, clearly, his vision was cleared. Here was Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. He did not believe that he was resurrected from the dead. He did not believe that he was the Messiah. He did not believe he was the Savior of the world. But there he was right in front of him. It was as if he was sitting in the doctor's chair. You remember what that's like. You're sitting in the doctor's chair, and you're looking at the chart, and it's blurry. And the doctor puts that machine down in front of your eyes, and before he says, "Is this better or is this worse? Is it the first one or the second?" Before he says that, you have that sensation of, wow, I can see clear. Here's the apostle, here is Saul, and he's seeing clearly for the first time, Jesus is standing, Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is the Son of God. But you know, he had a decision to make right then. Am I going to trust this or not? Am I going to say, yes, I see it clearly. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Or is he going to say, there's something wrong with your machine. There's something wrong with these lenses. I don't like the image that I'm seeing. You ever done that when you went to the doctor? The doctor puts the machine in front of your eyes and you can see the letters clearly and you say, I don't like what I'm seeing here. I like it blurry. I don't like it like that. Don't show me that clear vision. I don't trust it. I don't believe that. I mean, you have a decision to make, right? Either you're going to buy the glasses, you're going to wear them, or you're going to stay with the blurriness. You're going to stay with the impediment in your ability to see. The Apostle Paul had to make a decision. And not only at this time was he able to see, but as it indicates at the end of verse 5 there, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Perhaps your version doesn't have it. There's a discrepancy in the manuscripts, but it is in chapter 26 when Paul is recounting this same thing. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. In other words, there are many indications that you're not seeing things clearly. There have been many indications that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He is the risen Lord. And you've been kicking against those. But now, Saul, you see things clearly. Saul chose to see. He chose the truth. He chose the clarity that was there. We continue in verse 6, Acts 9. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. It's ironic, is it not, that Saul can see for the first time, even though he could see nothing. And I wonder why the Lord did this. I wonder why the Lord made it so that he was physically blinded for these 3 days when he's praying and he's fasting, wanting to know what he needed to do in order to be saved, what he needed to do in his life. For these 3 days, he can see nothing. Maybe Jesus wants the one image to be seared in his mind of Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ standing there on the road to Damascus. Why are you persecuting me? He has to think about that for 3 days. He has to see that for 3 days. And so when Ananias comes and he talks to them in verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered his house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me to you to receive your sight and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Here is a man who's got his glasses on. Here's a man who can see things. And here is a man who was changed because of his ability to see that truth. He began to preach that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Just like for the first time when I put those glasses on my head and I was able to see that chalkboard. It wasn't just the chalkboard I could see. I could see everything. So the Apostle Paul was able to see that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but it wasn't just that one fact he saw. He saw himself as he was and how he should be and how he should live. I think that's what he's talking about when he's talking in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at it in 3 ways. His hindsight, his insight, and his faith sight. First of all, his hindsight. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, there were things that the Apostle Paul had happened in his past that he remembered, and he needed to remember. He needed to remember that he was a sinner. He needed to remember what happened on the road to Damascus where he saw the Lord. There were things he needed to remember. But there are also things that he needed to forget. Forgetting those things that are behind. What did the Apostle Paul have to forget? Well, if we look in the context a little bit, I think we can see that he needed to forget his where he could have been in his religion as a Jew, because where he could have been in his religion as a Jew would have been a high standard. But it would have been wrong. We look at chapter 3, beginning with verse 2 of Philippians. Jump over there real quick. He says, Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision to worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul is having to deal with a problem that plagued the New Testament church, and that was there were some people who became Christians that couldn't forget their past, specifically the Jews. They looked back on their past as where they were as Jews, and they wanted to retain their Judaism, retain where they were under the law, and as well have Jesus Christ. And when the Gentiles came in, they said, yes, you can have Jesus Christ, but you also need to have the Old Testament system as well. They called them the Judaizing teachers. They wanted to hold on to their past. And the Apostle Paul said, if you want to play that game, I could play that. I'm not playing that game, but I was great in Judaism myself. Notice what he says. He lists some of the things here, beginning with verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. The Apostle Paul said, I had plenty of prestige in Judaism. I was a great man in Judaism. I had a great deal of things I could have confidence in my Judaism. Problem was, I was wrong. So I had to forget it. I had to put that aside. Because coming to Jesus Christ meant I had to renounce those things that I could have had in Judaism, because now I see them clearly that they were wrong. We continue the reading here in verse 7. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and have count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, righteousness which is from God by faith. The Apostle Paul recognized that if he was ever going to be right in the sight of God, he had to renounce his greatness in Judaism. He had to put that aside. He had to count it as lost, because that's the only way he could gain Christ. That's the only way he could gain righteousness, forgiveness of sins. It's the only way that he could gain the hope that's found in Jesus Christ, was for him to put aside, to forget the past that he had. And think about if he had not forgotten his past, had that clear hindsight. What if he was all of his life in Christ, thinking where he was in Christ, but he kept thinking about, well, I could be right there in the middle of Jerusalem. I could be right there in the middle of those teachers. I could be a rabbi of great stature. I could be a great man in the Jewish faith. Look at who I could have been. If he kept thinking about where he could have been in his Jewish faith, it would it not, sapped his energy in his Christianity. It would have, would it not, said to Jesus, you really aren't worth it for me. It was more valuable what I had back there. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm forgetting all of those things because they were wrong. That was blurry. I was blind. Now that I see clearly, I want to forget those. And I want to cling to what's in Christ. We need to focus on the things that are in Christ and forget the things of the past. Forget the things when we had blurry vision. We could say, oh, I remember when I was in that denomination. You know, where could I be if I had just stayed there? I could maybe be an official within that church right now if I had just stayed there. And you know, it'd be a whole lot more comfortable. There's a whole lot of restrictions here now that I've become a member of the body of Christ and following Jesus Christ. It's hard to do this. If I had just stayed in that denomination, I would be accepted by my family. I'd be accepted by my friends. It would be so much better. Look at what I could have. Yeah, but I was wrong. Yes, but I was lost. Well, yeah, but sometimes we forget about that. We need to see things clearly and recognize what we have in Jesus Christ. Or we might say, if I wasn't a Christian today, where could I be? You know, if I didn't have these restrictions in Jesus of being honest and having integrity and having character, I could have a whole lot better job. I could have taken advantage of those opportunities to advance. I could have gone to those Christmas parties and drank like everybody else. I could have done those things. I could have gone on those retreats with everybody and had fun with everybody. Look at what I could have been if I wasn't in Jesus Christ. If I wasn't in Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have quit my job to spend more time with my family. Where could I have been without Christ? See things clearly. Where you would have been is lost in sin outside of Jesus Christ. See things clearly with hindsight. With the truth that's found in Jesus Christ, of what is most important, of what where peace is found, of where the truth is found, of where hope is found. Forgetting those things which are behind, Paul also looks into the future and he says, reaching forward to those things that are ahead. The elders have chosen to call this faith sight as opposed to foresight. Because foresight is simply looking into the future, but faith sight is looking into the future at things that we can only see by faith. The book of Romans, the 10th chapter, says, for faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way that we're going to see clearly the future is for us to see things as God tells us and trust in those, have faith in those. And he says in this, reaching forward to those things, which what? Things were ahead to the Apostle Paul. Well, let's go again to the context. Chapter 3, we'll start our reading in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul was looking forward to the resurrection from the dead. He was looking forward to the time when he would be able to be alive again after his physical death. He was looking forward to a time when he would be able to be with God for all eternity in heaven, in a spiritual place, an eternal place, a place of blessing and a place of glory. The only way that he could see that is through the eye of faith. And so he was stretching toward that. He was reaching for that. The word here, he says, reaching forward to those things was a word that was used by runners as they approached the tape, as they approached the finish line, and as they would stretch themselves out, as they would put forth that final effort so that their chest could touch that line, so that they could finish the cross the finish line first. That's the word that is used here by the Apostle Paul, as he was looking for toward those things that he could see only by faith. He was stretching for them. He was seeking. He had clarity of mind. He had singular purpose. He had a focus. He had an attention. He had an intensity. All of those have to do with a clear 2020 focus. And in the same chapter here, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The Apostle Paul, through the eyes of faith, and only through the eyes of faith, could see the fact that his citizenship was in heaven. He was a citizen of Rome, but he was actually forgetting those things, and he was focused on where his true citizenship was, and that was in heaven with the eye of faith, waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which we can only see with the eye of faith, looking forward to the coming of the Lord, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. This physical body that we have is not going to go to heaven, is not going to go through eternity. It cannot. It is decaying. It is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the resurrection from the dead, when we are going to be raised and we are going to face the judgment and we are going to be delivered by Jesus Christ into our heavenly home. And we are going to have a body that is conformed to His glorious body. It will be a spiritual body. The only way we can see that is the definition and clarity of the Word of God, of the truth, of the faith that we have in Jesus, according, verse 21, to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He is working in history to subdue all things to Himself. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us the last enemy to be defeated is death, and that is going to be defeated in the resurrection from the dead. Paul was looking forward to the resurrection because that was going to be a time in the future when he was going to have this great victory and glory that's found only in Jesus Christ. Our vision, unfortunately, can become blurred. It can become blurred. We can become nearsighted by focusing on the things of this life, by getting so involved, by getting so focused on all of the activities that are all around us all of the time, having all of our attention, all of our time taking up with the things of this earth. We can lose sight of the clarity of the things by faith we can see into the future. And even that resurrection from the dead, even that judgment day, unfortunately, becomes blurred to us a lot of times because of all of the religious error that's being taught. You know, there are those, not according to truth, but who deny that there is a resurrection. There is not going to be a judgment day, according to some. And if there is a judgment day, everyone is going to go to heaven because our God is a God of love. So there's nothing that you really have to do in this life. Everyone is going to be saved. And then there is this huge error that is taught by the majority of evangelical churches, and that is premillennialism. That there is a rapture, and the rapture is right around the corner. It's almost here. Don't buy any green bananas. And there is going to be this tribulation period of time, and there's going to be a 1,000-year reign here on the earth. They redefine what it is that Christians are to look forward to rather than allowing the Bible to define it. They distort passages and sometimes, even many times, make predictions of when this rapture is going to happen, when this second coming and this 1,000-year reign is going to be here on the earth. And unfortunately, every time they have predicted it, they're wrong. And what does that do to people's faith? What does that do to people's lives? It's a distortion. It's an error that changes the way we view things so that we don't see clearly and we don't see with proper faith sight. But Paul also, going back to our text here, in verse 14, he talks about insight. He says in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice, first of all, that he calls it an upward call of God. Sort of like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. That we're to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. The calling is a high calling. The standard that God has given to us is not on this plane on the earth, but is something to arise to the glory, to the righteousness, to the holiness of God. This is an upward call of God in Christ Jesus that we are on. And it is, as he says here, it's I press toward the goal. There was a focus, there was a clarity. It looked into the future, but it wasn't the future here that is only in consideration. Notice that he says here, right now, present tense, I press. That's what Paul was doing in present tense. That's what he was seeing his life was involved with. And that was pressing toward that goal, toward that prize, toward that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, notice the context. We go back up the verses. We just read verses 2 through 9. Then we read 10 and 11. Now let's read verse 12. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained. Attained what? He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. That's what he's looking forward to. The resurrection from the dead, the change of his body, the going into glory. Had not attained that. Has not happened yet in his life. Not that I have attained, nor am already perfected. His life wasn't completed yet. He had years to go in his life, and he was in prison, but he was going to be released. He was going to be killed about 3 years after this, but he wasn't completed yet. He wasn't finished with his life. I had not attained, nor am I yet already perfected or completed. But notice what he says in verse 12, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I pray. He says it twice, there in verse 12 and also in verse 14. I press on. That was his current state. That is what he was doing in the here, in the moment, in the way that he lived his life. It was a life of pressing on, of pressing forward. He says, again, verse 12, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Very confusing phrase. I have to think about that and think about that. But what has Jesus laid hold of us for? Does he not lay hold of us so that we can be his children? Lay hold of us so that we might be saints? Lay hold of us so that we might be righteous? Lay hold of us so that he can take us home with him to heaven? That's why Jesus has laid hold of us. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm not there yet. I haven't finished yet. But I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. I want to grasp that goal that Jesus has. And so for me to grasp that goal that Jesus has for me, I'm pressing on. That's the way that he lived his life. I think it's reflected in the prayers that he prayed. It was read, one of them, this morning in our reading. Let's read it again. Chapter 1, Philippians, verses 3 through 6. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's his hindsight. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel. That's his insight into what they were doing right now. From the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's faith sight. He's remembering what they've done. He's looking forward to the time when it will all be fulfilled. And right now, they are having fellowship with him. They were having partnership with him in the furtherance of the gospel. He prays a second prayer in verse 9. He says, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Notice what he was looking for in these brethren, what he was praying for. He wanted them to press on. He wanted them to have this energy. He wanted them to have this drive to press on toward that goal. And notice how it's described again in this prayer here, verse 9, that you abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That he wanted them to understand the truth, but that truth to have effect in their lives. In verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Do the things that are excellent and approve them. Show them that way. Show them that they are right in your life, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. He was looking forward to the day of Christ. There was a beginning to that. There was an end to that. And in the middle of that, he wanted them to abound. He wanted them to have more and more. He wanted them to approve of it. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. He didn't want them to just have righteousness, but be filled with the fruits of righteousness. He wanted them to press on as he was pressing on. You know, we're beginning a new year. And in some ways, it's just like last year. You know, we get up and we go to work and we go to school. We go about our day. We eat lunch. and we eat supper and watch a little TV and do a little talking on the telephone maybe, look at our screens a little bit, and then we go to bed. And we get up the next day and we do the same thing again. We get up the next day and we do the same thing again. Week after week, month after month, year after year, we're just going around in circles. We're not ever going anywhere, are we? Just doing the same thing over and over again. Yes, we are going somewhere. This is not 2019 Part B. We're not in 2019 anymore. We're in 2020. And if the Lord gives us more time, we're going to be in 2021 and 2022. Yes, there is a cyclical part to our lives, but we're moving somewhere. We're going somewhere. There is a goal that is in mind in our lives. And we must continue to press on in that goal, not just get caught up with the mundane, oh, just doing the same thing all over again. We're not going anywhere. Yes, we are going somewhere. We are filling our lives with the fruit of righteousness and sincerity and truth. We are doing what is good and what is right according to the knowledge that we continue to acquire more and more of, and wisdom that we get more and more of through our lives. I remember I was in college, second year, and I was tired of school. And I called Mom and Dad, and I said, Mom, Dad, I'm tired of this, sick of this. I get up every day and I study, I go to class, and I take a test. I take a test. I'm tired of tests. I'm tired of school. I want to live life. I want to get out there. I want to do something. And my dad said, well, just wait a minute, son. You are going somewhere. It's not the same thing every day. You're progressing. The tests one day are going to be over. And you're going to be living. Right now, your job is to get prepared for life. Right now, your job is to lay a foundation for life. But you know what? That was 41 years ago. 41 years ago. I was worried about getting stuck in a rut of cycle. I wanted to live life. Well, I've been living life for 40 years after I've been out of school. Life continues on even though we have these cycles. We are in this cycle. The Apostle Paul recognized that he was in a cycle of life. But what was he doing in that? He wasn't standing still. He was pressing toward the goal. He was never standing still. And he was going upward while he was pressing on. He was going upward for that prize of the call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we do every day of our lives. That's what we do this year. We see things with 20/20 vision. We are not standing still. We are moving forward. We are pressing on toward that goal. One final observation. We go back to our text. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I thought we were talking about three things. I thought we were talking about hindsight, insight, and faith sight. Yes, we're talking about one thing. Because our lives, to accomplish this one thing, it's important for us to see everything. And with the truth that's found in Jesus Christ, we see everything clearly. We forget those things that are behind. And we stretch forward to those things that are ahead. And right now, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us this year see things with clarity, see things with focus, see things as they truly are, see things as God sees them, so that we might have the proper hindsight and insight and faith sight. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to see yourself as you are in the presence of God. And without Jesus Christ, you're lost. You're in darkness. Come to Christ so that your vision may be cleared, so that you might be a child of God, as the Apostle Paul was, and as we have become who have followed the same example. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are one, for some reason, have turned back to this world, we'd encourage you to see things, see yourself as you are, and come back to the Lord. Won't you come while we stand and sing?